This podcast is sponsored by Plykea, makers of beautiful plywood kitchens and wardrobes. Plykea creates plywood doors and worktops that seamlessly integrate with IKEA's cabinets, giving you that homemade custom look without breaking the bank. Visit them in person at their East London workshop or online at plykea.com and use the code HOMENOTES for 10% off your first order. Welcome to Stories from Sites, the renovation podcast that digs a little deeper. I'm Amy Dornalik, and together with my co-host Jane Middlehurst, we peek behind the curtains of those Insta-worthy interiors to bring you the real processes people went through to make their dream homes a reality. This week, we chat to Jen as she shares her journey of climbing the housing ladder, one renovation project at a time. We talk to her about upgrading her skills over multiple renovations and the dangers of taking on more than you can handle, plus the benefits of having a large Instagram following cheering you on. So welcome to Stories from Sites, Jen. Really lovely to have you. To start with, do you mind telling us when your renovation journey began?
Oh, right. Well,
please take us away.
Yeah, good question. Yeah. We bought our first house in 2013. We're on our third now. So we have kind of gone up the ladder with each one. So yeah, 2013, we bought a little two up, two down terrace, renovated that, sold that within 2 years, bought our next one, which was a three bed Victorian terrace, renovated that. And then in March 22, we bought this one and started all over again.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So you like renovating?
Well, I do. Yeah, my partner not so much, but he likes the end results. But yeah, he doesn't like the process of getting there.
And what have you done to this house, the current house you're in?
Right. So there was a lot more to be all the kind of boring stuff, as I call it, when we first moved in than we were expected. So we had to have repairs on the roof. The flat bay roofs were leaking, so they all had to be replaced. We've had all the windows replaced, a new bathroom, my youngest son's bedroom's been, that was taken back to brick, the ceiling had to come down, the whole kit and caboodle. We've kind of done like a little revamp of the kitchen, and we're just in the process of doing the hall stairs and landing, which is obviously a massive job.
So you had remedial works to get the house weathertight and okay. But yes. Was there any building works, taking walls down?
Yeah, that is on the long list of things to do. We have a wraparound extension already on the house. However, it's been divided up into separate rooms rather than it kind of like flowing as one open space. So we are having one of the internal walls taken down and the roof pitched. Or vaulted, whichever way you want to say it. So we're just waiting for our builder, really, with that. But like with everything, one job leads to another. So we wanted to do that quite quickly when we first moved in. But the two radiators for the kitchen and a dining room, of course, are on the wall that we want to remove, as is always the way. It's concrete floor. So obviously that would mean, you know, chiseling into the floor or channeling into the floor, as I should say, to move the pipework. So what we were hoping to have already done by now just keeps getting put off because we keep finding more and more things that need to be done. And obviously with the cost of building materials and everything at the moment, what we'd done previously in our last house when we'd had walls and everything taken down and we had an idea of a cost was coming back at about quadruple what we'd paid.
Oh,
yeah, what we paid only maybe 3 years ago. So yeah, things have definitely been stalled a little because of the cost at the moment.
When you moved into the house, did you have a clear vision of what you wanted to achieve?
So with this house, I definitely had a very clear vision of what I wanted to do. That has only really come from experience of doing the last two houses. The first one was very much we were first time buyers. It was just internal decoration. We didn't really do anything sort of structurally. Then when we bought the next one, that's when we sort of ventured into the world of knocking down walls, changing layouts and things like that. So I've kind of gained experience as I've gone along. So yeah, definitely I had to have a real clear plan to convince my partner to move into this house. When we came to see it, we walked out. I was dead excited. And he just turned around and going, right, when are we going to see the next one? Because it was like an absolute no from him. So I had to have a plan. I had to explain, no, listen, like it ticks every single box that we said we wanted in a new house. I know it doesn't look how we would want it to look. However, this is the plan. And I managed to sell the plan to him and get him on board with it. They're my ideas, and thankfully he's always on board, and because I've managed to prove with the others that I can bring my ideas to fruition, then yeah, that definitely helped.
We saw on your Instagram account that you do get involved in some quite good DIY projects. How did that develop over the three renovations? Was that out of necessity in the beginning, or is it something that you've just grown in confidence to do?
Yeah, a bit of both, really. Out of necessity, massively, when we first moved in to our very first house, we just had he's now 11, but he was only one when we moved in. I was on maternity, so money was an issue. So a lot of it just came out of necessity because I couldn't afford to pay somebody to come in and do it. And then kind of from there, that developed into, oh, actually, I quite like doing this. Unfortunately, we've come across kind of rogue traders in the time, and we have paid people to do things and they've not done a very good job or not done it to kind of how I wanted it to be done. So again, that kind of pushed me to, well, I'll give it a go myself. If I get stuck and I really can't get it done, then I'll get somebody else in. But 9 times out of 10, I've been lucky enough that when I've put my mind to it, I've been able to achieve it.
Amazing. Can you give us an example of some of the things that you've done?
Oh, gosh, I've done so many. It's hard to know where to start, really. In Oscar's room, I stripped the floor back, replaced broken floorboard, sanded the floor. I reinstated what would have been the original fireplace. So it had been bricked up, so knocked all the bricks out, tiled the hearth, found a reclaimed fireplace on Facebook Marketplace. Installed that. Other things I've done the paneling in the dining room, in the kitchen, took down all the wall cupboards, built an integrated extractor fan, put up the floating shelves, painted all the cupboards in the kitchen, painted the floor. I don't know if you've seen that on my Instagram. I did.
Yeah, I love that one. Yeah.
So a lot of it is, like with the kitchen, it's kind of like a make-do DIY job at the moment, but actually now everybody's saying, why would you want to change that now? Like, you've done such a good job on it, why would you want to go and put a new kitchen in now? But unfortunately, it's still the old naff kitchen underneath. It just looks pretty from the outside. But the kind of reason I took on the DIY project with the kitchen was the wall that we want to take down is between the kitchen and the dining room and what is the second living room. And because of all the issues that I mentioned before in terms of different flooring and what have you, it just meant that if we wanted to put a new kitchen in, we had to put a new floor throughout. And again, the cost was spiraling. So it was a case of, right, well, let's take, I think it cost me about £800 to completely redo the kitchen to how it looks now. It just buys us a little bit more time to save, and so that when we get the work done, we can get it all done in one go. But it means that we've got a nice space to live in whilst we're waiting to do that. I just think, God, I fitted all the skirting boards, all the architrave. So in terms of DIY, that was a new skill that I've learned for this house. In the old house, we had all the beautiful Victorian skirting boards and original architrave and stuff like that. Whereas in this one, I'm looking around now. I won't show you. It's absolutely horrendous. Your typical 1930s, very boring design, but it's actually painted in brown gloss. So I was like, how can I save this? And then I thought, no. So yeah, that was a new skill that I learned, especially for Oscar's room. And nothing's ever straight. So
yeah,
teaching myself some joinery skill to make sure it looked good in the end. So yeah, I tend to pick up skills depending on the project. You know, I'll go, right, okay, well, this needs doing. How can I do that? And then I'll try and teach myself how to do it.
What you've achieved is so incredible in terms of setting out and doing a renovation and being able to climb up that ladder. And I think obviously people still want to be able to do that. What would be your top tips for people starting out on like the first one?
I suppose the thing is with us is that we started small, I would say. So our very first house that we bought, it was, like I said, it was just decorative stuff. Yeah. That needed doing with it. We weren't in a position then to be looking at putting in new kitchens, new bathrooms. So it was just painting and decorating and putting, we put new flooring down. We put our own stamp on it. I would definitely say to kind of stick within a budget, choose a project that you know you're going to be able to take on, really. I have a lot of people contacting me saying, oh, we've bought an absolute shed of a house and we don't know where to start. Like you've really got to have a detailed budget because prices absolutely spiral. So if you kind of got a very small budget, try and your first house, just do it one that the basics are already there and that you can add your touches to.
No, that's great advice.
And then, as I say, we managed to sell. And then the next one, we knew we could do a bit more and work up, like, I think the problem with Instagram I find is that everybody sees these beautiful houses and think that they're easy to achieve. Yeah. That it's really not. You know, we're 18 months into this renovation now and we're nowhere near as far along as I thought we would be. So it's just kind of being realistic with your time, your money and your expectations, really.
So with this renovation, do you feel like you've just had to kind of stop and reevaluate? Like, are you going through a kind of rebudgeting period?
Yes, massively. Because like I said, we base our renovation costs on what we paid previously. You know, we've got a great builder, we've got a great plasterer, a great people that I really trust. And they're, you know, their prices are going up massively. So I know if their prices are going up, it's not that somebody's trying to have me off. It's just the cost of living issues that we've got at the moment. So we had some money left over from the sale of the last house that we'd put to one side. But once we'd done the remedial stuff, done the windows, started, done the bathroom. The bathroom was always going to be a big one because it was horrendous, the bathroom before. And my partner was very much like, we need to get that done right away. So yeah, that was a big one. But after we'd done those, that was kind of our budget gone. Mm. Whereas I thought, oh, for that money, we'll be able to do the knock through. We'll be able to do this. So yeah, this year we've had to sit down and reassess our priorities with the house and the budget. We decided that yes, the knock through, the building work is lovely, but there is other places in the house that really need work before we do that.
And can I ask you, how have you personally dealt with that? Like, because obviously you've got something in your mind, you want to get going, you've already allocated it. It's quite hard to shift your expectations.
Yeah, massively. You know, it hasn't been easy. I kind of feel like it's sometimes I kind of catch myself on a little bit because I do think, oh, it's first world problems in a way because, you know, we have this house, we're able to afford this house, we're able to do it, but it does get me down at times because, like I said, literally everything needed doing in this house. So when you've got an idea of how you want something to be and we bought the house with those ideas in mind, and then we realize actually right now we can't afford to do that or other things need to take priority, it is difficult. And for a time I just kind of stopped. I was just like, well, if I can't do that, then what's the point? But then I would kind of find little projects to do. Well, I say little projects. The kitchen started as a little project and then took me 5 months to do. We weren't going to have the big open plan, lovely new kitchen that I thought we were going to have. So I kind of like took a step back, just stopped. So then in February, that's when I kind of got my mojo back a little bit and thought, right, catch yourself on, Jen.
Because there must be such a big to-do list in your head. I guess that's how it is for me. You must just be like, oh gosh, that's on that list and that list. You know, like it's tricky.
It's overwhelming.
Do you actually have a physical list? Have you written it all down?
I do on my phone, yeah, because otherwise I'm awake at 4 o'clock in the morning thinking, oh my God, like in order to get this done, I need to do this. Like at the moment with the horses and landing, unfortunately, when we moved in, I was desperate to find some original parquet under the 25-year-old red carpet. But no, unfortunately, when I pulled it up, it was just butchered floorboards. So we're going with Antico. So that's going down in the hall. And then we decided to run it through to the front living room and have it all done in one go. So we had the guys round for that. And then they were like, okay, well, you need to have your skirting boards on. You need to have your fireplace finished. You need to have your radiator moved. You need to have this done. And then, or not, then we don't have to have the radiator moved. But I want to move the position of it. So they were saying, you need to have that done before we put the floor down. So yeah, I have to have a list because otherwise... My mind is just a jumble all the time of all the things that need to do.
It just looks like and sounds like you put such a lot of care and attention into each space that once a space is done, that's just like, right, tick, done. Now I can move on to the next one. Is that how the process kind of works?
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong. I could walk around all the finished rooms and there's little bits, you know, that need to be done because when I come to the end, or, you know, 98% done with a project is when my mind starts ticking to the next one. So, yeah, the little snags, but things that probably other people wouldn't notice. Like, my mum's always, like, rolling her eyes at me because you're right, I do pay an incredible amount of attention to detail, but I think that pays off in the long run. And I've learned that from doing the previous two houses that, if I try to cut corners or make a quick decision, it never really pays off and I end up having to do it again. So taking that time and that attention to detail right at the very beginning does mean that in the long run, I'm not having to change things that I didn't get right first time.
Yeah. Can I just ask how you're managing to actually do it? Because it sounds like it is all encompassing. Is this kind of DIY on the weekends or in the evenings?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
I've got two boys and I work full time as well. So. Yeah. And I think, again, sometimes I have to remind myself that's why it's taking so long. I would love to have a magic money tree and be able to pay people that I know and trust to come in and do it for me, but I don't. A lot of it has to be done myself. So I do have to remind myself that, you know, it is done in my spare time, if you believe that I have any with kids and a full-time job. But yeah, it's evenings, weekends. I work shift, so I'm lucky in the fact that I have days off during the week when the boys are in school. So I get like a good like crack at it because at the weekend it's kids partying football and you know what have you. And luckily Paul, my partner, he covers all the sports. So he'll be out with the boys at the weekend doing that and they leave me to crack on with a paintbrush most of the time.
Wow, they must be so proud of you.
Yeah, I think they take it for granted a little bit, if I'm honest. You know, I think the boys have grown up with mum always doing this, do you know what I mean? So they're more than used to living through this. But yeah, I think they appreciate it once it's all done.
I'm just imagining kind of trying to psych myself up for doing that amount of work and, you know, starting a project like that. And especially if you're working solo, I was just wondering, does Instagram kind of help you get a bit of that momentum because it's a bit of an accountability thing? How do you get yourself psyched up to do each project?
to be honest, it is like a bit of a needs must with this house because, like I've said before, like nothing is how we would have done it. Do you know what I mean? So most of the momentum comes from that I don't want the house to look the way that it does. But certainly when I start a project, Instagram really helps in kind of keeping the momentum going because it's incredible how people get invested in your project, you know, and it, maybe if you don't do an update, I'm getting a message sort of saying, oh, how's it going with the kitchen? Or how's this going? Or I've been waiting for you to do this because I want to do it and I want to see how you do it first. let me make the mistakes and then I can share it. But no, people really do, you know, kind of really cheer you on. They're almost like a little gang of cheerleaders and they really want to see the finished results. So this kind of start of a project is through necessity, and then Instagram helps me push it over the finish line. And kind of going back to the question you asked me before, kind of advice for people who are starting out and things like that, you've just reminded me there that it is living in a space. Like you might think that you've got a million and one plans for what you're going to do. And yeah, like in our first house, we were adamant we were going to knock through. It was only two up, two down, so we only had two rooms to knock through. But like, yeah, we're going to knock through. But actually, having lived in it for 6 months, we were like, oh no, let's keep that wall up because it means that we can shut the mess of the kitchen and the dining room away and have a space away from all of Henry's toys and things like that. So I think it is important to live in a space, and once you live in a space, then you know how you're going to use it. And then once you know how you're going to use it is when you can plan what you want to do with it and kind of, like I say, get that inspiration that, yeah, that's definitely going to work for that space.
So is this the forever house now?
It is at the moment.
It is at the moment. That's amazing.
You know, Paul is hugely supportive, you know, in all these wild plans that I have, but he has said, Jen, this has got to be like the last one. And in all honesty, this house ticks every box that we need. And I think once we do it all and how we get it how we want, we won't want to move because we literally do have everything we need here.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm looking forward to following on the journey on your Instagram. We'll be messaging you as well.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
If you would like to see pictures of Jen's project, do head over to our website at homenotes.co/storiesfromsite.
If you're in a similar position and need some professional advice about problems on site or need a sounding board to work out how to achieve certain design details in your project, then we're here to help. This half term, we're offering 20 of our home consultations at a discounted price. So grab a one-to-one session with me or Jane while you can. Link and promo code in the show notes below.